You've already heard the worldview of ABC News, the ACLU, and the National Education Association. Now, tune in for the other worldview. This is Generations with Kevin Swanson.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Generations. Kevin Swanson here with you, Executive Director for Christian Home Educators, also a pastor. But we look at the world here through the eyes of a biblical worldview and through the eyes of fathers. Dave Buhner also in studio with me today. And today, let's talk about building permits down in Mississippi, Dave. 234,000 homes destroyed by the hurricane a year ago. They've so far pulled 2,200 building permits. So they're on track for rebuilding Mississippi.
Yeah, it'd take them about a century to get it right back to where it was.
About 100 years, it'd be a century before they get this thing together. It's the bureaucracy, the blaming it on bureaucracy. Hard to say whether that's the issue or not. But today we are broadcasting, my friends, from Elbert County, Colorado, zoned and regulated. That's what the sign says every time Dave comes into the county to do recording here in my basement. Dave, how do you feel coming into our zoned and regulated Elbert County?
Well, as I pass that first wheat field, past that big long line of sunflowers, I'm feeling a little safer knowing that that's all zoned.
You're all zoned and regulated in Elbert County, Colorado. Did you hear about the Brighton, Massachusetts man who's cited by the city for not making his home's outdoor staircase sturdy enough? This happened just a couple of weeks ago where a burglar fell to his death from the second-story staircase as he was trying to kick in the guy's door, and now he's getting written up for unsafe staircase.
For hurting a burglar.
Yeah, the guy died. Now, I have in front of me the first pictures I've ever seen of Christians getting persecuted in Vietnam. Now, these pictures are very explicit. A Mennonite pastor and some of his people are getting beaten by rods, electric cattle prods, and nunchucks. This is mean. These people are just beating the living daylights out of these church people, Mennonites, out in Vietnam. 11 people beaten up by police thugs and arrested at this particular church.
Thugs. I thought maybe it's the Quakers doing
it. No. These were the police. These were the police in Vietnam. And here's the charge, Dave. The charge, he was trying to get a building permit to fix a leaky roof. He finally gets the permit, all right? And he does the work, and they come back and they insist the repairs exceeded the allowance of the permit. So he, a few extra tiles on the roof. So they came and beat the living daylights out of these people.
So they didn't fine him. They didn't make him redo the work. They didn't make him repull a permit.
They just went ahead and beat him up. Yeah. By the way, a total freedom of religion is there in Vietnam. They just can't ever get a building approved for people meeting in those places. And, I don't think our country is very far from this scenario, Dave.
I don't think so. I think with the recent eminent domain cases that many churches are going to find their property being more valuable to the tax man if it was a retail establishment instead of a church. And I think they're definitely going to be threatened.
You remember the Kelo case? This was the eminent domain case. I think it was Connecticut. And this promises to be devastating to churches because churches aren't known for their economic output. All right? They're not producing anything economically. So any economic development in an area could be utilized against a church because of the Kelo decision. And that was the Supreme Court decision, if I recall. The Baptist Press reports that there are at least 8 other cases of eminent domain abuse against churches across the country. And there's just one that just came off the blogs today. And that is a case out in New York City, dated August 13th. New York City is trying to yank Faith Temple's property to build a city park. Now, what they have is 70 acres here of undeveloped land. The church is planning to build a new facility on the acreage. And now the city says they want it for a park. And the church has already spent, get this, $350,000 fighting the case. This is their own property, Dave. They're trying to take it away from them.
Well, I think when you combine that with laws against political speech and the harassment the IRS has used to quiet churches down, and I think they're either going to take the property away or they're going to try and regulate the message of the church. Either way, the church is being threatened.
Stories are all over the place. Here's one from Christianity Today. This is a September issue. So this just came out. A Washington-area megachurch filed a federal lawsuit July 3rd challenging a government ruling that it was improperly holding seminary-level classes on church grounds. They're, again, accused of zoning regulations. It's a non-denominational church, McLean Bible Church. They attract 9,500 worshipers on a Sunday, mega church. But they have partnered with a seminary, and they offer these Bible study and religious ministry classes. Anyway, the county has come back and said, not going to happen. It violates the zoning status for the church. Dave, this is typical tyrannical government. They pretend to have some kind of legitimate reason to persecute good people, righteous people. They cook up some pretense by which they can regulate everything, and then they use it as a means to fine and imprison good Christian people. They've done this since day one. This is not unusual, my friends. Now, today we are going to speak on the issue of property rights, freedoms for churches and families that ought to have the right to own property. Folks, the war for the American independence was fought over the freedom for life, liberty, and property. We want to talk about property. What is it to own property? Do we have the freedom to own property? Are we losing the fundamental freedom that once marked free people everywhere all over the world? Will freedom completely disappear in the modern world? That's next on Generations. My name is Kevin Swanson.
Deeply embedded on the front lines of the War of the World Views, here's your host, Kevin Swanson.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back. This is Kevin Swanson. We are fighting for faith, family, and freedom in the 21st century, my friends. And you know what? We bring up freedom a lot on this program. We happen to like freedom. Hey, we're fathers. We want the freedom to make educational choices for our children. That does not exist in public schools today. Families cannot take their children out of certain classes, et cetera, if they have checked them into those public schools. We want freedom for families. We want freedom for parents. And you know what, Dave? I like the freedom to own property. I think that's really, really extremely basic to who I am as a free person. If I want to be free, I need to be free to own some property without some guy coming and exercising eminent domain on my property. And this is real to me because I live in the eastern plains of Colorado, and you know about the super slab, Dave.
The super slab, that would be the highway the size of, like, Rhode Island coming through your property.
Yeah, it's going to be down the eastern plains of Colorado. I live in Elbert County, as I mentioned, and they are trying to build this freeway down through my property. Dave, I'm not sure if it's going to extend to my property. What do they want? Something like a 12-mile swath?
Well, they've changed the name and they've changed the ambitions. It's a 210-mile private road, and they're now calling it the Prairie Falcon Parkway Express.
Oh, that sounds so much better than the super slab.
Yeah. I think it's 12 passengers or less. You get to go in that quick lane.
Yeah, yeah. Let me give you an example, folks. This is what I'm talking about. When I was about 12 years old, this neighbor kid comes over and rips off my bike, all right? Now, I confront him about it, and he's a little bit bigger than me. So he finally lets me have my bike back, except I got to pay him rent, all right? Now, it wasn't all that much. It was like $2 a month, all right? So it wasn't that much. But a couple times I tried to do some things, like adjust the seat or modify the handlebars on my bike, and he comes over and beats me up. Now, I tried to explain to him that, you know, hey, this is my bike, all right? And I shouldn't have to pay rent for my bike, and I can modify it anytime I want to. But that wasn't the way he looked at it, see?
The way he looked at it was probably if you raised your seat, it could be dangerous. So you need to ask his permission first. And he had to collect the rent in order to make sure that he was able to police the fact that your bicycle was safe.
That's right. And, you know, here's a quote from a neighbor from this Faith Temple case out in New York City where they're trying to rip off 70 acres from this church out of New York City, all right? Here's the quote from a neighbor in the story that I'm reading from. Quote, in reality, he says, nobody really owns land. The government owns the land. What we have is a license from the government. Now, that guy's a true Marxist, right? This is the Marxist way of looking at things. Now, what we say is God owns the land. Yeah, God ultimately owns the land. The problem is, in the modern worldview, the government is God. So the government owns all the land, and it just rents it to us. And if we do anything to their land that they don't want done, they're going to come and they're going to confiscate our property.
Well, he's got a really good point there. If you don't pay your rent, a.k.a. your property tax, and even if you're a little delinquent in your property tax, they could come confiscate the land and any improvements you've made to the land that belongs to the government. If you were to go find a 5-pound gold nugget on your property, Kevin, you would not get to keep that 5-pound gold nugget because the mineral rights don't belong to you.
Well, a lot of this goes back to property taxation. Right? We did not have property taxation in 1789, my friends. It didn't come until the mid to late 1800s, where, and this is ironic, Dave, when we start bringing compulsory attendance laws in public education, we also take away the right to own property. All right? So when property taxation comes in, when the big bad bully from next door comes over and grabs your bicycle and then rents it to you every month, that's exactly what American state governments and local governments did in the 1800s and 1900s when they came to our property, ripped off our property, and then leased it back to us on an annual basis. They called it property taxation, my friends, but ultimately what they did was they said that your children belong to the state. We are going to institute property or government schools and compulsory attendance laws. The children belong to the state. And then they said, and while we're at it, we're going to link property taxation to public education, and we are going to steal your property too. So what they do? Dave, they got a two-for-one. They stole our children, and they stole our property. To tell you the truth, Dave, I don't think free men have anything left.
Not much.
I can't think of anything. Now, here's another point of irony, and I think that the guy from the case in New York City seemed to demonstrate this. I think most people like tyranny. I think they do. I think when they drive into a county like ours, Elbert County, zoned and regulated, they like it. They say, wow, we are going to live in a county where there is a lord of the manor who owns all the property. And the lord of the manor is going to be the security blanket that takes care of everybody in this county. I think people like it. I think they like tyranny overall.
Well, yeah, because in Elbert County, you can want to protect your property values. You wouldn't want some guy parking his rusty old John Deere just 120 acres away from your stead.
Well, actually, my neighbor has six or seven tractors on his 1.4 acres, and I actually rather appreciate the fact that he has the freedom to do that. Unfortunately, Elbert County is one of the least regulated counties in all of Colorado. Hence, this freedom-loving man is living in that particular county, my friends. Now, Dave, if I had 20 families come over to my house every Sunday for worship, all right, I would probably get arrested at some point, I'm guessing, or fined or something of that sort. Not so much because police are patrolling for people who like to worship God on Sundays, you know, getting together in a home like they did in Acts, where they got together in the house and they worshiped God together. But because, you know, here's the point. My neighbors would probably turn me in. Now, maybe not all of them. We have friends. We have really good friends in this neighborhood. But people really come to the point where they have a hard time living with each other. And, Dave, this is where the breakdown of freedom occurs. It occurs when there is a lack of neighborliness between neighbors. All right? If neighbors cannot get along with each other, relationships break down. Inevitably, people go to the courts. Let me give you an example. I had a friend who was working at the corporation where I was working about 10 years ago. And this guy came to work one day really frustrated. I said, Deepak. His name was Deepak. I said, Deepak, what's going on? What's wrong with you? He says, well, I'm going to sue my landlady. I says, well, what's the deal? Why are you going to sue your landlady? He says, well, she's really ripped me off. She does some terrible things. I'm taking it to court. I'm going to law against this kind of thing. And I said, well, Deepak, you know, have you talked to her? Have you talked to her about, you know, what's wrong? He says, talk to her? You mean go to her and tell her the problem and deal with it that way? I said, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That's a great idea. It's a great idea. And he, literally that night, he goes and he talks to his landlady. He works it all out. He comes back the next day, all smiles. He says, Kevin, it was wonderful. I worked it all out. It was wonderful. Good. You know, you are so smart. You are a wise man. You are a wise man. Dave, I think that in socialist countries, people have a hard time understanding how to live in a Christian way of living. And that is, if you have a problem with your neighbor, you just go in and talk to them. You work it out one-on-one. You don't bring the police into this sort of thing. And, of course, people do this sort of thing all the time, Dave. The dog starts to bark. What do? We get a law against it, right? We get a law against all dogs that bark between 1 a.m. and 2 a.m. in the morning. This is what we do. We see government as the great solution to all our problems because we ultimately, I think, are very selfish people, and we don't want to solve things the way Jesus wants us to. Matthew 18, Jesus says, go and deal with your brother one-on-one. Well, Dave, let's get back to what the Word of God has to say about property ownership. Bottom line, Eighth Commandment, thou shalt not steal. You don't steal your neighbor's property. That establishes the right to property ownership. God establishes it by saying, do not steal. And, Dave, that includes the civil government. You can't go to the civil government and say, okay, I've always wanted my neighbor's land. Let me go get the government to take it away for me. That's exactly what King Ahab did to Naboth's vineyard. And God judged Ahab for that. And that, of course, was what precipitated the end of his reign. So God does not appreciate a government trying to confiscate property by means of property taxation or any of that sort of thing, and he does not want us paying rent or property tax to the government. That is not a biblical form of taxation, my friends. It's also an abomination to remove some guy's property boundaries. That shows up in Proverbs a number of places. And there is a text in Isaiah that says it is a terrible thing to trespass onto the property of widows or the fatherless. And Dave, when I was out in Arkansas, I picked up a copy of their state constitution. I think there was something really interesting. This constitution, I think, was around 1870, 1860 when it was written. And there were still some remnants of a biblical worldview in the state constitution of Arkansas. Because what I was doing is I was looking through the areas on property taxation, where, of course, the great tyranny came down upon American free people back in the 1800s. Well, I went through this and found that the local tyrants in Arkansas could not confiscate a widow's property. Dave? I mean, they could confiscate anybody else's property if they didn't pay rent to the lord of the manor or to the county, but they could not confiscate a widow's property if she could not pay the property tax to the lord of the manor. And I think that this is holding true to some small remnant of a biblical worldview, because God says, if you touch that widow's property, if you violate, if you trespass onto the property of that widow, I'm going to be burning mad at you. And you know what? The guys who wrote the Constitution for Arkansas still understood some basic concept of human freedoms, the freedom to own property, and they protected widows. Now, they didn't protect anybody else, but they were at least protecting widows, and for that, I commend them.
In the Bible, property is a family-owned estate. The family passes it from generation to generation. In fact, that estate doesn't really interact much with the government, except that the government is there to make sure that the property boundaries are not moved, that there's property stones, that somebody doesn't come at night and kind of roll the stone over 3 feet and try and steal 3 feet. But that was the only interaction between property and government, at least in the Old Testament.
Yeah. Well, American Christians today don't seem all that interested in this wonderful freedom guaranteed by God's laws, with perhaps the exception of Faith Temple and a few other churches that are right now seeing the eminent domain abuses and other things coming down from local planning departments, etc. Bottom line, my friends, planning departments are socialist concepts. They're rooted in Marxism. This is the worldview that we have adopted in most of our counties and most of our states across America. This is the assumption that government knows best how to lay out communities. Now, we're not saying that if somebody builds a dangerous house, he's not liable for that damage. He is liable. He is absolutely liable. I mean, if you don't fence off your swimming pool and the neighbor children fall in and drown, then you're going to be liable for gross negligence. But again, the Bible does not endorse preemptive punishment. That is, fines and beatings if you haven't harmed your neighbor's person or property. It encourages God's law. God's law doesn't go the way of regulation. God's law encourages self-government and responsibility. And it does so by means of punitive laws for gross negligence. And also the other point here is that insurance companies are not going to insure a house that is built to some, you know, really weak standard. If it's not built to some code, then you're not going to be able to get insurance for that. And certainly there ought to be some private inspectors going through houses and determining and certifying whether or not those houses are built to certain codes. I'm okay with that. But I'm not okay with the government doing it. I'm okay with insurance agencies and others doing this sort of thing. If somebody builds a cheap house out of cardboard, he's not going to get much money for it. And it's not going to last very long. Should that be obvious, Dave?
That should be obvious. And as a consumer, if you're going to go buy the house, you want to know that certain standards were used in building that home. You want to know that it's going to stand before you put your money down. That's a good consumer way of going about it. And that, in that sense, the Uniform Building Code serves a very good purpose. It tells us a minimum standard
Absolutely.
That houses will be built. And it's very useful to the consumer. It's very useful to the seller to say, hey, my house has met this standard. It will last. It's a quality home. That's a good thing.
And Dave, if I want to build my house with 2x4 construction instead of 2x6 construction, I'm going to be paying more for heating costs for the next 40 years. But that's my decision. That's not the decision of some planning department. You see, this, my friends, is what is known as freedom. I know that you probably have never heard of this concept before, but it's a great concept. It's called freedom. Your forefathers fought for that back in the 1780s. They loved freedom. Freedom was what life was all about. It was a beautiful thing. It was also responsibility. It was the right to make your own decisions as to the raising of your children and the building of your property, your houses, and things of that nature. Well, but it's been a long time since we've seen this sort of thing, because government has been taking personal responsibility away from us, and the end result has been a destruction of the character of the people in this country. So my solution is, let's abolish property taxes and planning departments, and that, my friends, will constitute the good life. The good life is freedom and personal responsibility. It's fearing God, educating my own children, working hard for my own money, and not relying on the government. The good life for socialists is living in the fear of big government, not living in the fear of God, living in the security of knowing that big government controls every single part of their lives. Those are socialists, but I am a free, loving person, and I live my life in the fear of God.
But Kevin, if you get rid of property taxes, you're not going to be able to fund the public schools. You're probably going to have to get rid of them, too. Oh, wait a minute. That might be good.
You got it, Dave. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to this edition of Generations. You can interact with the program by emailing me at host@kevinswanson.com. And you can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. Please help me to revive the concepts of freedom and responsibility in the modern world. Get your friends and family members listening to us at kevinswanson.com, anywhere in the world. This is Kevin Swanson, and I want to invite you back again next time as we lay down a vision for the next generation.
Been listening to Generations with Kevin Swanson, where we take a look at life through a biblical worldview and a generational focus. If you've been challenged by this program, you need to get a copy of Kevin Swanson's new book, Upgrade, The 10 Secrets to the Best Education for Your Child. Get an upgrade at kevinswanson.com. This book addresses many of the issues close to the heart of this program: the power of relationships, the preeminence of character and faith, and the importance of getting the right worldview in education. Get your copy of Upgrade today on the web at www.kevinswanson.com or call 877-842-CHECK. That's 877-842-CHECK. Mention Generations and get a 20% discount today.